Genesis chapter 32. God's given us such rich and wonderful promises. You know, faith lays hold of them. That's what it means to stand on the promises. It means that you just go by what God said to you and what the Lord's promised you, and you forget and you ignore all the circumstances as they are now, and you stand on the Word of God. And He wants us to learn how to stand. When things go difficult, He wants us to learn how to stand. Because not always do things go our way. Not always do things go the way we think they ought to go. And sometimes, you know, there's lessons we have to learn in life, and sometimes our flesh betrays us because it gets the best of us, and so we have to learn to live in grace. We need to learn to live in grace for other people and for ourselves. I think sometimes we just expect too much of ourselves, and I don't think God expects that much of us. But Jacob now had to return to the place of his failures. I know this won't hit home with anybody tonight because we probably aren't anywhere near here. But Jacob needed to return to the place of his failures. Remember, we left off with Esau seeing his brother, and his great messengers talked to him about the fact that he had 400 big burly guys with him, and he didn't think that Esau, who at one time wanted to kill him, had changed his mind at all. And so he wasn't looking forward to this encounter. And so Jacob was greatly afraid. Jacob arose that night in Genesis 32:22 and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over everything that he had. And in verse 24 it says, and Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. There are many instances in the Bible where God met with people who were alone. Now, in the case of Jacob, he didn't have his family surrounding him. He'd left them behind, and he left his stuff behind. And so the word there, alone, means that he wasn't surrounded by anybody. Nobody was by his side. He'd left them at a distance. And at night, he was alone. This is a condition that doesn't mean aloneness. Aloneness is what people feel inside of them. Alone is the circumstances that you're in. Now, some people that like to be loners love it when they're alone. And so they don't feel aloneness. They don't feel, although there's an aloneness there, they don't feel lonely. They love it that way. In fact, they hate it when anybody's around. They like to be secluded. They like to go off to themselves. And you could be in the middle of a party, they'll be up in their room working on something or doing whatever. They don't like people. They don't like to be around anyone. So those kind of people do really well in an aloneness situation or in a lone situation. But there's a lot of other people who like to be surrounded by people. They're more comfortable when somebody else is around. And when they are alone, this is a situation where they feel lonely. Because lonely is a capacity that the heart has to judge what is happening with you. And it's viewed in some negative. But God needs aloneness in that when, as long as we've got things that distract us from God, as long as we're working or we're doing something and we can't give God any time and we don't have time, you almost have to make time to have some time with the Lord. Aloneness is a good deal. Jacob was so busy doing a lot of stuff that God couldn't meet with him all that time. Since the last encounter with angels, when all these angels, an army of angels appeared to Jacob, he kept himself busy to where God couldn't meet with him. God couldn't meet with him. So God had to wait until Jacob was alone. Alone means that he didn't have all the things that were distracting him. Some of that could be work. Some of that could be friends. Some of that could be activities. Some of that could be just us finding stuff to do. Because many a time, whether we think about it consciously or not, we're running from God. Because this is a situation that a lot of people find in their life, to run from God. We're afraid what we're going to find if we meet with God. And so we try to put other things in the place of meeting with God. And sometimes when we go to church, we think, you know, they've got me captive there. I may have to meet with God. And so meeting with God is not a bad thing. God loves to meet with us. And most of the times it's a very pleasurable experience. About the only time I know of that it's not a pleasurable experience is when he has to wrestle with me, because my will and his aren't lined up. And I have told God that I give him my life, but then I take it back. I tell him that I'm going to serve him and give my life to him, that if he will save me out of this situation, I will serve him the rest of my life. Now, he's a God of promises. We know that. He is a God. When he came to Jacob, he said, I'm the God of Bethel, where you made a promise to me. Promises are important to God. He keeps. We saw that already. And so now the Lord has to wait until Jacob was alone, because he had too many things that distracted him. Jacob spent most of his time separating all of his cattle, all of his family, all of his servants, all of his goods in about 10 different packages, groups. And he sent one a day or so ahead, or two, and the other one like a day and a quarter ahead, and another one a day ahead, and another one three quarters of a day ahead, another one half a day ahead. And then he kept his wife, the one he really liked, he kept her at the very back where nobody could hurt her. His plan was that Esau, whom he had heard was coming with the 400 guys that he thought was to kill him, because he didn't believe God's promise that he would return in peace back to his house, and that God was capable of fulfilling his promise. He wasn't standing on the promise. And so he was too busy working things out by himself. And God had to wait till he was in a place of aloneness. What is this suggesting to us tonight? That many times God's got to wait until we quit working, until we quit being busy and have time. And God works the circumstances out, because Jacob was totally busy doing his thing. So God waited until he was through doing his thing. The Bible says that it was night. And when it was night, and night always suggests all the negative things and negative connotations that go with the night. Those aren't the great moments in your life. Those are the bad moments in your life, the low moments in your life. And in this situation where Jacob was left alone, he was ripe for picking. He was ripe for God to have another encounter with him. Now, have you noticed that up till now we've talked about Jacob's encounters with God? This one was God's encounter with Jacob. There's a difference, you see. Because most people relating to the story will say that Jacob wrestled with God. That wasn't the case. The scriptures say that God wrestled with Jacob. In verse 24, it says, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him. Now, that's a big difference than a man wrestling with God. God was wrestling with a man. Why would God wrestle with a man? The name we have placed on our church that most people in the States can't pronounce, because our vowels are different than they are in the Hebrew language, and this is a Hebrew word, is penile. Penial. People don't really know how to say it. And that's with every reason. We don't speak Hebrew. We speak English. And it's a Hebrew word. And it says that Jacob called the place penile. And there's a reason for that, and we will get to that. And for many, many years, as long as I can remember, since 65, we've called the places of worship that we have gathered in Peniel, something or another, whatever, Peniel Worship Center, Peniel whatever. And the reason for that Peniel is for the same reason that Jacob called the place Peniel. And for many years, I've been preaching on this message off and on, and this passage of Scripture bringing out different aspects. But tonight I'd like us to notice that Jacob was always very busy, and God had to bring him to a place where he was alone and quiet, not working and doing. God loves us when we're quiet. That's why the Lord so many times speaks to us in dreams, because we're quiet. God moves at night. We live such a rushed, hurried life that the first thing doctors will tell you when you go to their office is that most of the problems you have is due to a word that starts with S and ends with S. Stress. Most illnesses are induced from that. We live too hurried of a life. We don't even have time for God. God doesn't have time for us. He's got to wait till it's nighttime, and then God begins to wrestle with Jacob. You see, the wrestling, we say it was God, because Jacob says later, when he names the place, "This is a place where I saw God." Hosea, the prophet, you can read it in chapter 12, verse 3-4. In Hosea, the prophet says, when he talks about Jacob, that he prevailed though wrestling with an angel. Angels have an awful lot of power. But this man wouldn't give up. God was wrestling with Jacob. Now, we wouldn't think of a God who will wrestle with us. Now, I don't know if you know the difference between wrestling and boxing. Does anybody know the difference here? That to be able to tell us, your boys wrestle, don't they? Do they box? No, they wrestle. What's the object of wrestling? To pin a person down. The whole experience of penile is to pin you down. Sometimes it takes the Lord a whole lifetime to get us to a place where we don't struggle anymore to live by a righteousness produced by our own works, but we'll live by faith. God wrestled with Jacob. The whole object was to pin him down, and he said he couldn't do that. Jacob would not let him pin him down. Sometimes God needs to pin us down on just whose fault is it. Sometimes he needs to pin us down to where his will or ours will prevail. Because there's certain things God needs out of our life. And there's certain things we want out of our life. And there doesn't seem to be a happy medium, so God has to wrestle with us. Now, we've always heard of this gentle Jesus. It's like gentle giant. Jesus, as gentle as he is, has two sides to him. The lamb, the one that submits himself to whatever the will of the Father was for our salvation and for our good. But on the other hand, he's a lion of the tribe of Judah that will rule with a rod of iron over his enemies and will subdue them all in the end, even the Antichrist, the one that was given power by Satan. And before it's over with, he will rule over Satan himself and cast him in the lake of fire forever and ever. That doesn't sound like a gentle giant to me. Now, there is one thing God left sacred for us, and that is our will. But as I tell most people, whatever is sacred is God's. That's why it's sacred. And so God has to wrestle with us and pin us down on certain matters in life. There is so much confusion out there as to who puts sicknesses on who, whether the devil puts them on you and God takes them off, or if God puts them on and then he takes them off, or whether the devil just has his will with people on earth and it's just whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. I'm not going to try tonight to help us. I'm going to leave you worry about that one. Because you're going to find an answer wherever you want to find it in the Bible, because there's answers for all of you. Is there tumult in a city and I didn't do it, says God? Did terrorists hit a city and I didn't declare it done? I wound and I heal. If you do what I say, I'll lay none of these diseases on you. But if you'll walk the way I tell you to do and walk in the ways of health and eating right, then you will have all the health you could stand. And so then there are other scriptures where the devil has to come and ask permission from God to go in order to go and do something, like for Job. And so once granted permission, he does it. So now we don't have a God that does it. We have a God that gives permission. Then there's the other thing that says that Jesus went about doing good, destroying all the works of the devil, which were laying diseases on people. and making him sick and putting him in prison and depressing them and filling them full of demons. And though Jesus went around, and he's just the opposite. He undid all the works of the devil. And so good old Jesus, he comes by and does everything the devil did, he undoes. So on the one hand, did God do it? Or did the devil do it? Does God undo what the devil did? You say, why is this pastor confusing me so much? Because God was wrestling with Jacob. We think of God coming and patting you on the head, saying sweet nothings in our ear, which he does. I would call them sweet somethings. We don't think of God wrestling with us, do we? We don't think of God pinning us down. We don't ever think that there'd be a moment in our life where the Lord would actually come to us and bring us to a place of life. And so God pins us down to a place where we cannot move. Pinning down means that for a moment you have been subdued. For a moment you have succumbed to their power. Now here's the deal with Jacob. He was so strong in his will and determination to do it himself that it was really hard for God to bring him to the place where he pinned him down with his back on the floor and said, okay, do you surrender? And Jacob says, no, I don't. The gentleman says, I gotta leave. It's morning's coming and you can't see my face. Jacob wanted to see his face. That's why he said, I saw the face of God and lived to tell. God had to pin Jacob down to that place in his life where he surrendered to the Lord. Now there's a message here for us. Peniel doesn't only mean we see the face of God, we feel God, he's near to us, we have an encounter with God. It means it's a place where God subdues us. And where he brings us to a place of surrender. That's the purpose of the angel wrestling with Jacob that night. He brought him to a place where he quit working, where he quit doing. And he had to get Jacob on the weak side. He didn't want to do it during the day. He had to do it during the night. This suggests to me that when the Lord works on us to get us to where our will surrenders to him, he has to get us in circumstances that are unfavorable to us. The angel weakened Jacob, and it says that even in awakened state, Jacob wrestled with the angel. And the angel had to touch him in his thigh, and it said he dislocated his hip. And for the rest of his life, Jacob lived with his joint out. They didn't have doctors that did surgery and put it back in those days. For the rest of his days, he lived with his hip out of joint. And limped. The angel touched Jacob in his strength to weaken him to where he would live according to the will of God and go and do what God wanted him to do and go where God wanted him to go. Some people say, well, I don't understand this message. What this message means is that God gave all of us a will. But when we became Christians, when we gave our heart to God, we surrendered our will to him. And there are times where God has to put us in a place of weakness. Sometimes that weakness comes through sickness. That's why I said, who puts sicknesses on people? Do the devil, and then God saves you from them? I think God takes advantage of certain things. And in this case, there's nothing on record that says that while the angel and Jacob were wrestling, the devil came in and kicked him in the thigh and dislocated his hip. It said the angel did that. The angel weakened Jacob to bring him to a place of surrender where he could pin him down and say, okay, you win and I lose. You know, we all have a will. We all have things that we want to do in our life. We all have things that we desire in our life. We all do. God wrestles with us in life. And sometimes the way he does it is to weaken us physically. And we say, God, why do I have to live with these handicaps? Why do I have to walk around with these handicaps? Is God saying, I'm wrestling with you. I'm wrestling with you. I'm bringing you to a place where you will surrender to me. That's all. Where you will surrender to me. We sing songs like, I surrender all, I surrender all. Father, I ask tonight that by your Spirit, you will subdue our will. We all have our will in life, and God's wrestling with us. Sometimes it has to do with a lifestyle. Sometimes it has to do with things that you're involved in. And there's a wrestling going on between God and us. And the whole purpose of God is to bring us to a place where we will absolutely yield to God. Now, it is a whole lot easier just to surrender to the Lord than to put up a fight. But Jacob fought, and the angel fought with him all that night. And the purpose of the angel was to bring him to a place where he would surrender. What was it that Jacob had to surrender to? What was it God was looking for in Jacob? What God was looking for is written in Hosea chapter 12 when it says that Jacob, even in the womb, fought, for he took his brother by the heel, and he wanted the first to be the first. He wanted to have and to be the family that God wanted on earth. He wanted to produce by his own works what God alone could do in his life. Listen, God's going to do his work in your life. God's going to complete his work in your life. What he needs us to do is to surrender to him and allow him to work in it. Amen. He needs us to come to a place where we can just say, all right, Lord, you know, you have your will with me because you have a perfect desire for my heart. You have a perfect desire for my spirit. You are the one that has a will for me, and I surrender to that will. But Jacob wrestled with God because from the very first, even in the womb of his mother, he was wrestling to prevail over his brother. Then he continued and he wrestled before his father, and he deceived his father to gain that place of preeminence. He took advantage of a time when his brother was weak and tired from coming home from work to take away from him something that was very precious, which was being called the firstborn and the privileges, the spiritual privileges that come with that. And he took it away from him for a bowl of porridge. And God was wrestling now with Jacob because it has to be a God idea, not a person idea, not an individual idea. It had to be a God idea. And so the Lord wrestles with Jacob here and fights with him that night to bring him to a place of an encounter. And it's not a bad encounter. It's a wonderful encounter, because once Jacob finally surrenders, once the daylight breaks, God begins to commune with him and begins to speak to him. And that's where there was a complete change of nature. God could not change Jacob's nature while he was wrestling. God could not change Jacob's nature while he was going to town working on his own strength and his own will. God had to wait until he weakened him. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, verse 25, he touched the socket of his hip. The socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. In verse 26, and he said, the angel did, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Verse 27, so he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. In verse 28, it says, and he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. I want to tell you that there's a prevailing with God. There is a winning with God. And I want to bring out the fact to you that many times in losing we win. When it comes with God, when it comes to God, in losing we win. God had to bring him to a place of absolute weakness, and out of that weakness came the strength of Jacob, because God had said, I am your strength. God had said to Jacob, lay hold of my strength. Paul had understood this mystery in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It says, therefore, I take pleasures in infirmity, in reproaches and in necessities, in persecution and in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Though he was crucified, chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians in verse 4 says, though he was crucified through weakness, referring to Jesus Christ, yet he lives by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. God proved to Jacob his strength. God had to reduce Jacob in his strength and show them that in the natural, no man will prevail. In the natural, no one will prevail. Sometimes we think that when we're at the weakest, we can't fight. When we're at the weakest, we can't win. When we're at our weakest, then God can't do his thing. Listen, when Jesus was sleeping, God brought salvation to the world. When he was sleeping in the sleep of death for 3 days, and he was doing nothing, God subdued his son Jesus and harnessed and pinned him under the ground for 3 days. And while he was pinned down in that place of absolute and total surrender, God brought forth the salvation of the world. And when Jesus Christ came out of that grave, out of that place of total weakness and surrender, he brought down with him the powers of devils, principalities, of all the great dominions of the world, kings and kingdoms he brought down with him. God gave him power over everything named, every name named, every power existing. God gave him the power over them. Why? Because while Jesus was asleep, while he was in the cradle of death, while he surrendered, the fight started in Gethsemane. He said, Father, my will is not to go through all this that I got to go through. That's what I want. If you'd honor what I want. That's where the wrestling started. The wrestling continued when they put these ugly thorns into his head and stuffed them in there. That hurts. Then when they beat him mercilessly till he'd fall down and they'd pick him up again and keep beating him. He took more stripes than any human was capable. They'd die at the scourging block. And yet he prayed that God would sustain him. To go through everything God wanted to. That was wrestling. Wrestling where he had to surrender to the will of his Father for the sake of us, for the sake of others. He, like Jacob, was at a place where he was left in Gethsemane alone. Even his own disciples and his closest friends went to sleep on him and abandoned him and left him alone. That night when he was alone, God wrestled with him. God says, my will is that you give your life for everyone else. So, well, that's unfair. They sin, let them die. That's unfair. You think that he wasn't a man like you and I are human beings? He was a human being. Do you think it's easy? Put yourself in his place. Sometimes we are blamed for something we didn't do, and boy, does that tear you up. How about paying for what everybody did? And being blamed for it, and then pay for it. Do you think he wanted to do that? No, he wrestled with God. He wrestled with the Father. He wrestled all the way, but surrendered. Surrendered all the way into death. And when he was in a place of total surrender, God brought forth the salvation of the world. God made it count for all of us. Because you see, there's something God needed. If he could allow the enemy to take an unlawful captive, then God could have the right to take every lawful captive from the enemy. And so the Father had a plan. He wrestled with his son, but his son allowed him to win. His son prevailed. The reason he prevailed is that's why he has all the power and the glory. Paul discovered that. He said, there's times that I have to go through incredible weakness. God reduces me down to weakness, but when I am weak, then I am strong. The strength of the Lord is at its greatest when I'm at my weakest. Sometimes you think that when God reduces you in strength, whether it's through things you have to go through in life or illnesses or just a bad time in life or economic problems, and you get to the place where you're belly up and you say, God, you know, I'm belly up. I'm not going to make it. No, that's when you're starting to make it. God's just waiting for you to surrender. Say, how much more can you take? God, I don't know how much more I can take. Honey, you should have said that a year ago. Don't say, God, I don't know how much more I can take. Say, God, I don't need to take any more. I surrender. What do you want? Because God's going to wrestle with you. And he's going to bring you to a place in your life where there's a night, there's an aloneness, and he's going to wrestle with you. And what he's going to do is bring about a life change in your personality and character, which you have been praying about all half a lifetime. Say, God, I need you to change this in me. God, I need you to change that in me. God's out to do that. He said, Jacob, what's your name? Jacob. He was that ever since the womb. A fighter. He said, I'm going to change that. I'm going to change that. I'm going to make you one that rules like God. I'm going to turn you into someone that's the head of a nation. Out of your children will come kings. There'll be kings and nations that arise out of you. I will make you a great man. You will be the beginning of a nation that will bring salvation to the entire earth. When God wrestles with you, he has great plans with you. Out of Peniel experiences have come great men and women of God whose lives have made a difference in the lives of hundreds and thousands of people around the world. People who wrestled with God and prevailed in that, they were taken to that place where they had to let go. They had to let go. Did the angel leave in the morning or not? It said he wouldn't let him go, but did he leave? So why does the scripture say that Jacob prevailed? Prevailed would have been to keep him until morning. He didn't do so good. It said he prevailed with God. He didn't prevail against God. He prevailed with God. That's the difference. That is the difference. Say, all right, Lord, you're not giving up. Angels are stronger than we are. You keep that up and you might limp the rest of your life, but he's still going to get his will done in your life. Now, I know that's not a very popular message, but for some reason you were inspired by the Holy Spirit to make it here tonight. God says that the Peniel experience means that at some point in your life or another, God's going to wrestle with you and bring you to a place of total surrender. And when you do, your life starts. God says, I will change you. I will change your personality. Everything you've been begging me to do, I'm going to do by my will, my power, not by might nor by power, not by you, but in weakness I will become strong. Have you ever noticed that most people really become effective for God after they're about 60, when you're beginning to wonder, God, why didn't you use me when I was 30-some and full of energy and I could really be used by you? I could really make a difference for you. Now my joints are all out of place. I ache when I get out of bed in the morning. It takes me a minute to straighten up once I get up. I get up, but you get up like this. Then it takes a while. Now, I know some of you young people are going to laugh at that. I did too at your age. Because God needs weakness. We don't even like the word. We don't even like the two words pinned down. Because that means you've got to be arrested into a place where you can no longer do your thing. God likes that. That's the atmosphere where God says, finally, I can do something. I couldn't while you were busy. Because both of us can't do the same thing at the same time. So if you'll just get out of the way, I can finally do my thing with you. Everything you've been asking me to do, I'll do for you. You want to change? How many of us have tried this Jacob thing with God when it comes to trying to break a habit? I'm going to stop just before I start meddling, but no one's asking you to raise your hand. It's just how many. I want you to think about it. No sellouts here. I just want you to think about it. And the Holy Spirit keeps bugging you and bugging you and bugging you and bugging you. And he's wrestling with you. Is what he's after is for you to break a habit you can't break? No. He's after us surrendering, saying, all right, Lord. What is it you're after? Because this is just the fight. God's after something else. He's after a change of character. One that will say, Lord, run my life. Do what you need to do with it. You're the only one that can deliver it. You're the only one that can heal it. You're the only one that can do anything great with it. You're the only one that can provide for it. You're the only one that can. So, okay, Lord, I surrender. What is it that you want? He'll make his will known. He'll say real clearly, I want to change Jacob into Israel. I want to take this conniver that's always working and doing everything. All right, Lord, you tell me, I'll do it. No! Pin till you can't do it. And then when you can't do it, it's almost miraculous. When the will surrenders, I've had some people that fight for years trying to get over something that they're locked into and can't. Years! Then suddenly the will surrenders. All right, Lord, I just surrender. And within weeks, there's a total change in that life. Everything they were captive to for years that people themselves didn't think they'd ever get out of, suddenly just poof. Now, I know that if I asked for some shows of hands, we'd have them right in here in this building. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for that point of surrender. That's what Peniel really means. That you come to a place in an encounter with God of letting Him bring you in weakness to that place of total surrender. That's what wrestling is. To let God pin you down, and when you come to a place immobile, not mobile, you say, okay, you quit wiggling. I was terrible to put to sleep. I liked life too much. When I was a little child, my mother used to pin me down in bed. Something similar to like Elijah when he was stretched out over this young man that was dead, except I wasn't dead. Because she knew if she could get me to where I was totally immobile, I'd sleep. You know what it's like to have a 50-pound leg over a tiny 40-pound body? She would smother me and not let me even wiggle. I was a small little child, but I still remember to this day thinking these thoughts. If I can but wiggle my toe, I will not sleep. There was always some little finger or some little toe that I could keep wiggling, and I just wouldn't sleep while it was wiggling. I hated to sleep. I wanted to be up. There was too much to do in life. Some of us are that way with God. He almost gets us to where our entire will is surrendered, but there's always this little finger that just wiggles a little bit so we don't go to sleep. Total surrender. Thank you, Father, tonight. We want to yield to you and learn what it is to have a life-transforming power of God work through us.